Let's take our Bibles this evening. I want to go to the book of Ruth, chapter 1 this evening. We're starting a new series this evening. We're going to be going through the book of Ruth. The title of our series is Going Home. Going Home. So I want to read Ruth, chapter 1 and verse 1. This is going to be an introductory message this evening. It's going to set up the rest of our series. Give us some direction as to where we're headed. Ruth chapter 1 and verse 1 says, "Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons." Let's begin with prayer this evening. Lord, we thank you for the word of God, and we ask for your blessing as we study your word, and specifically as we study the book of Ruth. And Lord, we pray that tonight you would work through your word this evening. We pray that you bless our time. Glorify yourself, we ask. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. It was in the middle of the pandemic, so like April of 2020, that a story came out about 40 workers at a factory in Pennsylvania near Philadelphia. And they worked at a factory that produced polypropylene, which is like a plastic that's used in those N95 masks that everybody's wearing, and then like in a lot of the PPE and those sort of things, like medical gowns, all of that stuff. So it was something that was very important and that was in high demand. And so these workers were at this factory, and there were 40 workers that volunteered to live at that factory for a certain period of time. And so they volunteered for this. Out of all the workers that worked there, these 40 volunteered. And so they packed up some stuff and they moved into this factory, and they were there 24/7, right? And they worked these 12-hour shifts. And they were there for 28 days. So like for a month. They just stayed at this factory and they lived there, and they didn't want to risk going home and then getting COVID and bringing it back to the factory. They were dedicated to this, so they decided we're just going to stay there for 28 days. And the article I was reading said they kind of fell into a routine. They made chore charts, so it must have been not all guys that were there. But they started to get their life together and just, you know, working together and living there. At one point, their families organized kind of a drive-by, and they would kind of wave from the window, but they couldn't talk or anything, and they were there for 28 days. One of the men that was there was named Joe Boyce, and he was interviewed by the Washington Post, and when it came time for them to leave, he said this. He said, "It really hit me when my family got a little ways down from the plant, when my car got a little ways down from the plant." He said, "I'm finally going to see my family." I can imagine that, right? After being away for that long of time, and yeah, you get to talk on the phone, but it's just not the same, right? And it's not the same when you're not at home. And it came this moment where it finally dawned on him that he was going to get to go home. He was finally going home. And that's the story of the book of Ruth. It's about Naomi, and it's about Ruth, and it's about them going home. It's this return to Israel for them. The book of Ruth, we know from chapter 1 and verse 1, came to pass in those days when the judges ruled. So this is it follows the book of Judges, and it's in that same time period. We understand from verse 1 that there's a famine in the land. Reading through the book of Judges, there's only one story that mentions like a sort of famine, and it's the story of Gideon. So it's likely that this happened during Gideon's time. We're not going to turn there, but in Judges chapter 6, we know that the Midianites are used of God to oppress Israel because of their sin. And the Midianites and the Amalekites come in, and the Bible says that they destroyed the increase of the earth till thou come unto Gaza, and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor ass. They were oppressing Israel for 7 years. So for 7 years, this is what they did. They just destroyed all of the crops that Israel would grow. They destroyed all the animals. They took all of that. That's why we find Gideon at the beginning of his story, like threshing and hiding it, because this is what the Midianites would do. So there was this famine that wasn't because of a lack of rain. It was there because of oppression. But it happened for 7 years. They were under this. And at some point during this time, Elimelech, Naomi's husband, decides that he is going to leave Israel. He was there in Bethlehem, Judah, which is a little bit south of Jerusalem. He decides he's going to leave. So he takes his family and he goes to Moab, outside of Israel, and he starts living in a different country, living among wicked people, people that didn't worship God. So he moves outside of Israel, and the Bible says that he is there for 10 years. And I don't know if that was his original plan to just stay there for that long, or I don't know what his plan was, but we know that he wanted to leave Israel and get away from this famine and escape this this hardship. But he goes there, he goes to Moab, and he does it for the good of his family, but he ends up doing more harm. And while he's there, he dies, and his two sons die. And so here his wife is left alone with her two daughter-in-laws. And she is there in Moab, away from her home. And she makes this decision in chapter 1 that she is going to go back. And so in verse 6, then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. So she makes the choice that she's going home. And so she takes this long journey through the desert to make it back. Orpah and Ruth, her two daughters-in-law, they initially say they're going to go with her. And then there is, in the end of chapter 1, where she tries to persuade them to stay. And Orpah returns, but Ruth says, no, I'm going with you. So now it's Naomi and her daughter-in-law, Ruth, going home, going back to Israel. We're going to kind of overview the whole book of Ruth right as we begin. So in the end of chapter 1 in verse 22, it says, Naomi returned and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. They had left because of famine. Now they're coming back because they know that God has blessed his people with food. And they return to Bethlehem right at the perfect time, in the beginning of that barley harvest. So in chapter 2, Ruth now sets out to find a place to glean, right? She's going to go around and try and take the scraps, the remains of the harvests that are there in Bethlehem. And it says in chapter 2 and verse 2, Ruth the Moabite said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him, in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. She's looking for grace, to find grace from someone. So she goes out, and she happens upon the field of a man named Boaz. And in him, she finds grace. And he allows her to glean. He is very kind to her, and she finds out how gracious and generous and wonderful a man that he is. And so to kind of make a long story short, Boaz ends up taking her in as his wife. She becomes part of his family. And if we go all the way to chapter 4, to the end, in verse 13, so Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife, and when he went in unto her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. And the women said unto Naomi, blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life, and a nourisher of thine old age, for thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons, hath borne him. And Naomi took the child and laid it in her bosom, and became nurse unto it. And the women, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, there is a son born to Naomi. And they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. And it's a beautiful, heartwarming story of this woman's journey from a place of death to a place of life. And this journey that takes place as she goes home, it's also a gospel story. And in studying it, you see a lot of parallels between like the prodigal son and this story, where there is the one who is away from their home, and then they make the journey back, and when they get back, they're blessed because they went home. And we see that in Naomi, and we see that in Ruth. And for us, as we study this, it's the story of our salvation. It's the story of our journey from death to life, from a place of sin to a place of blessing. It's the story of your salvation. Because we were sinners. We were away from God. And our Moab, it wasn't a place on the map, but it was just the wickedness of our heart. It was just the wickedness in which we lived, the sin that consumed our life. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 21 says we were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works. Alienated. We were separated from God. We were away from our home, away from God. We all lived in sin, and then we made that journey, didn't we, by faith. And some of you were older when you got saved, and you lived in Moab for, you know, 18 years or however many years until you got saved. Some of us were saved when we were younger, right? We grew up in a Christian home, and we had the blessing of being taught the gospel from an early age, and we got saved when we were younger. I was saved when I was 8 years old. Either way, no matter how young you were when you got saved, we were all living in that same place. And it's the same place. It's a place of sin, and it's a place that then leads to death. It's the same place Naomi started, where what she saw all around her was death. Doesn't matter when you got saved, we all started in the same place. We were all there. Our sin had nothing before us except for punishment, condemnation, and death. And Naomi came to this realization that this place held nothing for her, and she said, I'm leaving. I'm not going to stay here. And she went home. She went home to Bethlehem, where she heard that there was hope, where she heard that there was life there. The same journey that we made. And for you and me, as we talk about going home, I don't want us to think about home as a place. I want us to think about it as a person. I want us to think about it as home for us is in the arms of Jesus Christ, in that relationship with Him. I know a lot of times when we talk about Christians going home, we think heaven, and I'm not saying that's a wrong way to think about it, because heaven is our home, but for this series, I really want us to think about home being a person, that it's our relationship with God and that restoration. The same way we think about the prodigal son going home to his father. That's how I want us to think about this. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, if you'll go there with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. That's what we're talking about, that reception by God, where we become His sons and His daughters. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Our home is with God. It's in the arms of a heavenly Father that loves us and that has received us again because of Jesus Christ. In Psalm 68 and verse 5, God is called the Father of the fatherless. Father of the fatherless. Those that come home to Jesus Christ find that. They find that love in His arms. And when we finally leave our sin and leave our wickedness, we finally realize that there is nothing there for us. And we go home, we find ourselves at home with Jesus Christ. We find ourselves in the arms of a loving Heavenly Father. And when we get there, we realize that we finally are home. And going home is that, it's the journey we take from sin to salvation, from separation to safety in the arms of God. And if you're saved here tonight, you've taken that journey. You've made that journey and you've gone home. But what I want us to do as we go through this series is to use the book of Ruth kind of as that trail map, as that map for our journey. And we're wanting to ask God to do three works in our life, to do three things as we go through this series. That's what I want to talk about tonight. The first thing that we're asking God to do is to remind each of us of our journey home, to remind each of us of the time when we went home. We need to never forget where we came from. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12, Paul said, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. And then he says, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. And Paul had had it in his mind where he had come from. And we have to remember that too. It doesn't matter how young we were when we were saved. Right? And I'm speaking of those of us that were saved when we were younger. It's easy to look at that and go, "What? You know, how bad could you be at 6 years old? You know, and what crimes could you get into?" And it doesn't matter. The smallest sin was enough. The smallest sin was enough to send you to an eternity in hell. We all were in that same place, and we need to have a real sense of what God has saved us from. But also, we need to never forget the one who has redeemed us, the one who has saved us and set us free. In October of 1999, there was a firefighter named Jeff Oz, and he was out on a, him and his partner were doing like a routine inspection somewhere in Long Beach, California. And as they were doing this inspection, the call came over the radio that there was a house fire not too far from them. So they head over to that fire, and they get to the fire. It was the house that was on fire, and they were able to fight the fire and get the blaze under control. And it seemed like the house was empty, but he decided to do an inspection and to visually check to make sure no one was in the house. And as he was going through the house in one bedroom, he found a two-year-old boy curled up in a pile of stuffed animals and some clothing. The boy's name was Xavier, and he was non-responsive. So Jeff Oz grabbed Xavier, this two-year-old boy, and rushes with him out of the house, and he starts to do CPR until the ambulance can arrive. The ambulance arrives. They take him to the hospital, and they were able to treat this boy, and he was okay, and he survived. But looking back, that Xavier, as he grew up, he was always thankful to Jeff Oz for rescuing him and for saving him from that fire. And it was just this year, in 2023, that Xavier posted a picture of him. He's grown up now, and he posted a picture of him standing next to Jeff Oz, and Jeff is holding Xavier's son. And he just posted on social media how thankful he was that this man came into that house and pulled him out of that burning house. And we need to have that same sort of thankfulness and remembrance of what God has done for us. Because in the same way, God has pulled us out of the fire. He rescued us from an eternity in hell. And it does us good to remember that. We're told in the Lord's Supper, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, "This do in remembrance of me." That we remember Jesus Christ. But what's interesting to me was, as I was looking through this, we're told in 1 Corinthians 11 to remember him. But more often, we're told to just have a relationship with him. Because if you have a relationship with him, then you remember him. It tells us many times to know the Lord in the fellowship of his sufferings. There's so many ways the Bible just tells us to live with him, to dwell with Jesus Christ, to walk with him, to talk with him, and to just live in such a way that you never get away from the fact that he has redeemed you, that he is your redeemer, that he has saved you. And that's what I want the book of Ruth to do, is to be that reminder for us of our journey home, that it was God who has done this, what he has saved us from, the one who has saved us. And also in that, to never forget the cost that Jesus Christ paid for us. In John chapter 10 and verse 11, Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." That was the cost that Jesus Christ paid for us. In Luke chapter 15, if you'll turn there with me, Luke chapter 15 and verse 4. Jesus spoke this parable to the Pharisees and the scribes that were there and the publicans and sinners. But in verse 4 of Luke chapter 15, he said, "Which man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost." How many of you are familiar with the hymn, The 90 and 9? It's in your hymnals. You can turn there. 665. We're not going to sing it. Maybe sometime we'll sing it, but not. So this was a song that was written by Ira Sankey. It's number 665. The story is, he found this poem in a newspaper, and it really stuck with him. So he cut out that clip from the newspaper, and he had it with him in his kind of in a notebook he would use as like song ideas. And he was there in a revival service with D.L. Moody. And it came down to the end, and D.L. Moody said, "Ira Sankey, do you have a song?" And the Lord put this poem on his heart. He hadn't written a melody to it. He hadn't written the music. But he just went to the organ, put the poem there, and composed this song and sang it on the spot. But it follows this story, and it adds a lot of detail to it. Verse 1 says, "There were 99 that safely lay in the shelter of the fold, but one was out on the hills away, far off from the gates of gold. Away on the mountains, wild and bare, away from the tender shepherd's care." This is us. That's where we were. Verse 2, "Lord, thou hast here thy 99. Are they not enough for thee?" But the shepherd made answer, "This of mine has wandered away from me. And although the road be rough and steep, I go to the desert to find my sheep. But none of the ransomed ever knew how deep were the waters crossed, nor how dark was the night that the Lord passed through ere he found his sheep that was lost. Out in the desert, he heard its cry, sick and helpless and ready to die. Lord, whence are those blood drops all the way that mark out the mountain's track? They were shed for one who had gone astray, ere the shepherd could bring him back. Lord, whence are thy hands so rent and torn? They're pierced tonight by many a thorn." And the last verse, "And all through the mountains, thunder riven, and up from the rocky steep, there rose a cry to the gate of heaven, rejoice, I have found my sheep. And the angels echoed around the throne, rejoice, for the Lord brings back his own. Rejoice, for the Lord brings back his own." And I love how in the middle it adds detail about the difficulty of the journey for the shepherd. Because it was for our shepherd, for Jesus Christ. He gave his life to bring us home. And that's what I want us to be reminded of as we go through the book of Ruth. That God would remind us of our journey home. But secondly, I also want God to remind us of the blessings that we have for being home, the blessings that we have at home. I know every time I come home after being away for an extended period of time, I walk into my house and think, there's no place like home, right? Maybe not in those exact words, but, you know, it's just good to be home, isn't it? After you're away for a while, it's just comfortable at home. It may be a mess, but it's my mess. You know, and I feel at home in that. I shouldn't call it a mess. Sorry, Eric. You know, it's your bed. It's your refrigerator. You just feel comfortable doing anything you want in your house. You're at home, right? And it's just nice to be there. There's no place like home. And you know, for us as Christians, there's no place like being in the arms of our Father. There really is no place like being close to God. And there's several things that I want to see just tonight, quickly. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 3. "Blessed be the God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation." That's a blessing of being at home. All the comfort that God gives to us. And how many times has God just spoken to your heart and given you that verse that you need in that time when you're exhausted, the time when you're discouraged, the time when you're fearful, the time when you're worrying, and yet God speaks to your heart that one comfort that you need to hear, and he directs your heart to a specific verse, and it's exactly what you need. And when we walk with Jesus Christ and we're at home with him, we find that comfort. It's also a place of peace in Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." We take all of our fears and we just turn them into prayers. We just express all of those to God, and it says he gives us peace. Now, that's what he does. That's what we find at home with him, is the peace that he gives. Philippians chapter 4, we're right there in verse 4. "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice." It's a place of joy when we're at home with the Lord. And even through the sorrows of life, God just weaves this thread of rejoicing and this thread of joy that takes the edge off all the sorrows and all the hardships of life. Because even as we experience those, and we will, God just gives us a joy that cuts through all of that. It's a place of joy. Psalm 16, verse 11, "Thou wilt show me the path of life in thy presence, is fullness of joy. At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 10, he says, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing. And he knew about suffering and he knew about sorrow. And he said, I've found that I can rejoice through all of that. It's also a place of love. In John chapter 15 and verse 9, Jesus said, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. And we know that God loves the whole world, right? John 3:16. Everybody knows that verse. We know that God loves the whole world, but those that are saved, they experience that love in a different way. They truly get to enjoy the fullness of that love. And when we're saved, we've been reconciled to God. We've been made righteous, and in that righteousness of Christ that's applied to us, we're accepted. And as we're accepted, we get to really experience what it means for God to pour out His love upon us. It's like when, as parents, we love our kids and we love them all the time, but there are times when they disobey that love looks like punishment, right? That love looks like they're not enjoying it. And it's the same way for us, right? But when the kids are doing what they're supposed to do, then you can have fun with them and you can really show that love like you want to show it to them. And it's the same for us with our Heavenly Father. Before we were saved, God loved us and He showed us that love, and we didn't understand that love. We didn't know that love. But then when we got saved, all of a sudden we realized what that love is and we rejoiced in that love. And boy, that love, we just enjoy being loved of God. And as we continue to walk with God and continue to live in fellowship with God, we get to experience His love and truly enjoy His love. And I want us in the book of Ruth to be reminded of how blessed we are to be saved, to be at home with God, to have a Heavenly Father that truly loves us and blesses us in so many ways. But then lastly, I want to ask God to remind us through the book of Ruth to not leave home, to not leave home. Some people like to travel. Some people want nothing more than to stay home. You know, they want to be in their pajamas. They get home and it's just like right to the pajamas, and they like coffee at home. They like just quiet mornings and not having to leave the house. But travel people, you know, they're like, but all the wonderful experiences and sights that you can have, you know, and you travel to different countries and the food is different there and you get to experience that food. I mean, there's things that you can see that you can't see from home, you know, and it's not the same looking at pictures on the internet. It just isn't. You know, you have to be there, and they're all about the cool experiences and the sights that you can see when you leave home. For us, there is nothing good for the believer outside the arms of Jesus Christ. There's nothing for us. There's nothing good for us to walk away from Jesus Christ. Jeremiah 17 and verse 5, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. Cursed be the man whose heart departeth from the Lord. We cannot lose our salvation. When I talk about leaving home, I'm not talking about us like losing our salvation. The Bible says in John 10, we are kept in the hands of God and nothing can take us from His hands. There's nothing that can make you lose your salvation. You can't give away your salvation. But our heart can depart from the Lord, and we can have a heart that wanders after other things. The Bible says, keep your heart with all diligence. Protect that. We can choose to love other things and walk away from our love for the Lord. We can love the world and all the things that are in the world. And the Bible warns us about that. And we can allow our heart to wander and depart from loving God like we should. And may God just remind us to stay home. Because all the things that from a distance look so good and look so enticing and look so wonderful, when we finally find those things, we find how rotten they are and how polluted and how worthless they really are. But yet Satan holds them up from a distance and says, why don't you leave the Lord? Why don't you love these things? Why don't you pursue these things? And he's constantly trying to pull us away from our love for the Lord. And may God through this series just remind us to stay with God, to love God with all our heart and our soul and our mind and our strength, to stay at home and just be where we're supposed to be. And so may we remember our journey home. May we see how blessed we are to be home. And may we just say, I'm not going to leave. I'm just going to stay with God. The book of Ruth, it's a story of two women going back to where they belong, going home. We just came back from our missions trip in Newfoundland. And in Newfoundland, we got to meet Emily O'Brien's parents. And I had met them before. Erica knew them as well. Emily O'Brien's dad is Greg Pease. And one of the things you find out about Greg is that he's just the nicest guy. He's just so friendly and so nice. And he gives the biggest hugs, right? He's known for that. You talk to anybody about Greg Pease, and they're like, yeah, did he give you a hug? You're like, yes. Yeah, it almost broke my back, but it was, you know, he just gives great hugs. And I don't know technically if it's a spiritual gift, but if it is, he's got that gift. But like, everybody gets a hug. He just gives you a hug, and he's like that grandfather type, you know, that just gives good hugs. And you know, when I think about the prodigal son and when I think about going home, the story of the prodigal son, he gets home and the Bible says that his father put his arms around him. And when the prodigal son got home, his father gave him an incredible hug. And you have to know all that he put into that hug and all that hug communicated to his son who had been away for so long. And it wasn't a hug of judgment and of condemnation. It was one of love. And it communicated to his son that he was finally home. He was back where he needed to be. He had walked away. He had spent his time in the world and learned all that was there and how horrible it was. And when he finally came back home, he found himself back in the arms of his father. He found himself home. When Naomi and Ruth got back to Bethlehem, back to Israel, they didn't get a hug, but they did get one from the Lord. And the Lord blessed them. The Lord showed them that even as Naomi had left with her husband and had gone to a different country and gone to a wicked place, yet when she came back, the Lord showed her just how much he loved her. And he blessed her and he showed her that this was where she was supposed to be. Ruth, who was a Moabitess, who didn't belong in Israel, yet was accepted and made a part of Israel. And God poured out his blessing upon them. And they found out when they got where they were supposed to be that this was home for them. It was home for Naomi, and it was even home for Ruth the Moabitess. They found where they belonged. They found that place. That's the journey that we've taken. We have found Jesus Christ as our Savior, and we've found where we belong. We belong with him. And what a journey it's been. But more than that, what a destination it is when we find ourselves in the arms of our Heavenly Father. Let's close with prayer. Lord, we thank you tonight for your word. And Lord, it's so wonderful to be able to study these books of the Bible and all that you teach us through those. And Lord, we pray as we look ahead to this series, we ask for your blessing upon it. Lord, we ask that you would teach us as we study your word. But Lord, we thank you for our salvation. Lord, for all that you've done for us and how much we truly are blessed through Jesus Christ. And Lord, may we rejoice in our salvation. May we rejoice in you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.